Good morning. It's been a great morning. Worship was something, wasn't it? Whew. We set the table pretty good. Now it's time to eat, right? Okay, so I'm going to open in prayer and we're just going to get into it, all right? Dear God, we thank you for today. We thank you for your love and your power and your grace. We thank you that you are who you are. God, we thank you that you are God and we are not. We thank you so much that you have chosen us, that you love us, that you work through us, and that you call us every day, no matter how many times we ignore the call. God, I pray that you would continue to just abide in this place. I pray that you would work on hearts and minds and ears and open them to be able to receive what you would have them hear today. I pray that I would get out of the way and that the Holy Spirit would do his thing. In your name, amen. I'm going to do my best to be loud today. So I'm going to do, okay? Got to keep this right here. So we've been going through Romans. We're in Romans chapter 11. Today the verses in Romans 11 are verses 11 through 24. And now I'm going to read those. If you want to stand, you can stand. So I say, have they stumbled so as to fall to spiritual ruin? Certainly not. But by their transgression, their rejection of the Messiah, salvation has come to the Gentiles to make Israel jealous when they realize what they have forfeited. Now, if Israel's transgression means riches for the world at large, and their failure means riches for the Gentiles, how much more will their fulfillment and reinstatement be? But now I am speaking to you who are Gentiles, inasmuch then as I am an apostle to the Gentiles. I magnify my ministry in the hope of somehow making my fellow countrymen jealous by stirring them up so that they will seek the truth and perhaps save some of them. For if their present rejection of salvation is for the reconciliation of the world to God, what will their acceptance of salvation be but nothing less than life from dead? If the first portion of dough offered as the first fruits is holy, so is the whole batch. And if the root, Abraham and the patriarchs, is holy, so are the branches, the Israelites. But if some of the branches were broken off, and you Gentiles, being like a wild olive shoot, were grafted in among them to share with them in the rich root of the olive tree, do not boast over the broken branches and exalt yourself at their expense. If you do boast and feel superior, remember that it is not you who supports the root, but the root that supports you. You will then say, branches were broken off so that I might be grafted in. That is true. They were broken off because of their unbelief. But you stand by your faith as believers understanding the truth of Christ's deity. Do not be conceited, but rather stand in great awe of God and fear him. For if God did not spare the natural branches because of unbelief, he will not spare you either. Then appreciate the gracious kindness and the severity of God to those who fail into spiritual ruin. Severity, but to you, God's gracious kindness, if you continue in his kindness by faith and obedience to him, otherwise you too will be cut off. And even they, the unbelieving Jews, if they do not continue in their unbelief, will be grafted in, for God has the power to graft them in again. For if you were cut off from what is by nature a wild olive tree and against nature were grafted into a cultivated olive tree, how much easier will it be to graft these who are the natural branches back into the original parent stock of their own olive tree? You can sit down. That's a lot in there, and there's some good stuff in there. Things we need to pay attention to. Not that there's parts of the Bible we shouldn't pay attention to, but we need to pay attention to a lot of the things that are spoken out here and what he's saying to them. So first off, I want to hit this right here. In 13 and 14, when it says, in hopes of somehow making my fellow countrymen jealous by stirring them up. I have two children, a seven-year-old, a two-year-old. And there are times my seven-year-old does not want to do what I want him to do. Right? Shocker, right? We're adults and we don't do what we should be doing. But I have a 7-year-old, and sometimes I'm asking him to come do like a chore or asking him to come eat dinner, something like that. He just doesn't want to do it. But I have found that if I go to my 2-year-old, and I'm very loud with my 2-year-old, and I'm like, look at this special meal we made you. Isn't this amazing? Suddenly, my 7-year-old is now very interested in what he should have been doing in the first place, because he's like, no, he might be getting something that I'm not getting. So it makes complete sense here, right? That Paul's saying, look, we're going to magnify what God's doing in the Gentiles so that the Israelites, God's chosen people, you need to be paying attention. You're not paying attention. So we're going to magnify the amazing love and power of God grafting these people in so that you come home and realize where your place is and do what you need to be doing too. Come back to the love of the Father. Come back to understanding who God is. That's why he says, I'm doing this to magnify this, to make them jealous, not in a negative way, but in a turn your attention, pay attention, do what you need to be doing kind of way. That's why it's extremely important for us to not forsake, never, ever, ever forsake hearing somebody's testimony. There's power in it. Not only does it stir up something in them and their connection to God, but it stirs up something in everybody that hears it. It's a reminder that, hey, God is still God. That hasn't changed. Not going to change. His power is still powerful. That hasn't changed. That's not going to change. But sometimes our minds like to forget some things. God, let us never forget it. Let us never hesitate to tell our testimony. Because it is a power of the blood of Christ in me and what it has done in me, and it speaks to him. It's important. Let God use you to make some people jealous sometimes when it comes to calling him back home. Now, 2 weeks ago, we talked about a vine a lot, and it's perfect that we're talking about it again, right? So I'm going to jump into John 15, which is what we talked about 2 weeks ago. We've mentioned it actually for the past 3 weeks now, so you guys should be well-versed in this verse, all right? So in John 15, verses 1 through 6, this is Jesus speaking. He says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that continues to bear fruit, he repeatedly prunes so that it will bear more fruit, even richer and finer fruit. You are already clean because of the word which I have given you, the teachings which I have discussed with you. Remain in me and I will remain in you, just as no branch can bear fruit by itself without remaining in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit, producing evidence of your faith unless you remain in me. I am the vine, and you are the branches. The one who remains in me, and I in him, will bear much fruit. For otherwise, apart from me, that is, cut off from my vital union with me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not remain in me, he is thrown out like a broken off branch, and withers and dies. And they gather such branches and throw them into the fire where they are burned. Now, talking about this a little bit, Pastor Paul brought this to my attention, and he was like, hey, go check out like the Greek word in verse 2 in that. So I did that, and it's pretty impressive. I don't know how to pronounce this word, so I'm going to try my best. Ario. It's simple. A-R-I-O. Okay? That's as good as I'm probably going to get it. And that word can be translated multiple different ways. So let me tell you what it can be translated as. It can be translated as to take up, lift up, or bear. So in verse 2, it says, every branch of me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. That word is ario, which can be translated as takes up, lifts up, or bears. Okay, now I want you to pay attention here. It says, every branch in me. This branch is already attached. This branch is not bearing fruit the way that it should be bearing fruit. And the Father says here, as it can be translated, he lifts it up. In the same way that a vine dresser or somebody that works at an orchard, if the branch is hanging too low and it's on the ground, it's not doing what it needs to be doing, they will tie it up sometimes. They'll prop it up. They will support it so that it can then grow and produce the fruit that it should be producing. Now, this is significant to us. Why? Because there are times where we're laying on the ground and we don't produce the fruit we should be producing. There are times where the wind and the storms and stuff have hit us around a little bit and we're hanging low, right? Everybody's been through it. But he says here that he will lift up the branches. He will take them up. He will support them in a way so that they can produce the fruit that they need to produce. Now, that is also significant because I want you to understand that as the body of Christ, one of the favorite tools that God has to use is us. We're his hands and feet. When there is a call to support a fellow believer, it's our job. It's our responsibility, okay? That is part of our responsibilities as being a part of this family. Family supports family. Family looks out for family. Family prays for family. So when we see fellow believers not producing the fruit, or we see them struggling, or we see them down, it is not our responsibility to say, well, that sucks for you. Maybe you should be holier. Our responsibility is to say, okay, God, what do we do? And if he says, you go support that person, you go support that person. Because I will tell you right now, every single one of you has had somebody help you in the past. Every one of us. And if it hasn't happened yet, it will happen. There are going to be opportunities for people to be God's hand and feet in your life, and there is a call for you to be the hands and feet of Christ in other people's lives. It's significant. It's important. We are called to not forsake the assembling of ourselves together. We need to come together as a body, as a family. And there is big, big danger in isolation. I know Pastor Paul talked about this last week. I'm going to touch on it again. Because the enemy wants to isolate. Maybe not exactly physically, but definitely at least mentally. If he can get you alone, then he knows that you're exposed. Right? Just like a lion when they're hunting, zebra, gazelle, whatever, they go after the one on the outskirts. Why? Because they're not going to get the one protected by everybody, but they're going to get the one that's kind of over here, that might not be the fastest, that might not be the healthiest, because it's being isolated. And they know that's the easiest target. Satan wants to get you isolated. He wants to get you alone. Now, there have been many, many studies. You can go look this stuff up on your own time, but I'm going to talk about a couple where scientifically it has been proven the physical dangers of isolation to our bodies. At Ohio State University College of Medicine, scientists have found that patients who scored above average in loneliness had significantly poorer functioning immune systems. Your ability to fight off diseases and sicknesses and things like that, your immune system ability to function starts to plummet. A report published in the Journal of Science said that social isolation is as significant to mortality rates as smoking, high blood pressure, high cholesterol, obesity, and lack of exercise. In fact, when age is adjusted for, social isolation is as great or greater mortality risk than smoking is. I'm not telling you go start smoking. Okay? That is not what this is about. But social isolation, being alone, affects the mortality rate as much as smoking, high blood pressure, obesity. One more. At the Stanford University School of Medicine, Dr. David Spiegel conducted research in which patients with metastatic breast cancer were randomly divided into two groups. One group received the usual medical care. The other group received the usual medical care plus weekly 90-minute support group meetings for 1 year. He planned, when he was doing the study, he didn't expect there to be much difference in it. But 5 years later, he found that the patients that attended the weekly group support meetings had twice the survival rate as those that did not. There is power in connection. Big, big power in connection. We are called to connect with other people. And look, This is where we're going to get into the grafting part, right? Because this is what he's talking about in verse 11. We've been grafted in. What does that mean? Well, I'm not a gardener, but I can Google things. So I Googled stuff. Grafting is actually pretty interesting. Grafting happens when you want to take the bottom part, the root ball, what they call the root stock of a plant, and you want to take the budding top pieces of a different plant, which they call the scion, and you want to combine them together. Usually you're combining two different things because you want to create a better version of the scion. You want to take the elements, which most of the time when you have the root stock, the elements that you want there are the hardiness, the strength, and the disease prevention. And then you want the fruit of the scion. And then you connect them together. Now, this is what's really cool, because God doesn't do anything for naught, right? He does. He's not just like, oh, whatever. Like, everything is screams of him, okay? Everything does. So whenever you want to graft a scion and a rootstock together, the root has to be wounded. And you need the life source of the root to come out, and they call that bleeding. You can only graft the new piece of scion to the bleeding part of the rootstock. Now, the only way we were ever brought into the family of God was for him to be hung on a cross and bleed and die for us so that we can be connected. Nature's known this. This is why if you want to create and graft in something, it's the same way, right? Because there's power in the blood. There's power in the life source from the root stock that is flowing into the new piece of plant. We have the life source of Christ flowing through us as we are grafted into the family. We cannot be alone. Because now it is not me that is trying to produce the life source. I am connected to the Father. I am connected to the root stock, which is God himself. And it says here that grafting is not really fast. It's not like, poof, you do it one day, the next day, everything's fantastic. Grafting is a process. It takes time because the two plants have to intertwine together. Sanctification is a process because we have to intertwine with God. Not taking over the rootstock, but allowing the rootstock to take over us. Okay? That's important. That is significant. We have to allow that to happen. Now, on a lighter note, actually, no, I'm going to hold that for a second. Whenever I was telling you about grafting, what the significance is and why you choose to graft, it is because you need what the rootstock has to make you hardier, to make you stronger, to make you more resistant. Satan wants to come after us right when we've been grafted, because that is when we're most vulnerable. That is when we are still letting time happen and we're trying to heal and connect to God the Father. Whenever you're grafting plants, that is the time where they're going to be wrapped up. They're going to be protected. It's going to be done at certain times where the temperature's not going to play a factor in it, where they're going to protect it from any kind of bugs, critters, things like that, because they know that's a really, 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 really like valuable, like the word's gone out of my brain. Very vulnerable time. Now, I'm going to side note this real quick. Whenever we have the amazing opportunity to get to be in people's lives and they accept Jesus, we're not done. Okay? Because they are at their most vulnerable. That is when they need to be more protected, more prayed over, more walked with, more guarded. Not, well, I did all the work, I got you to say the prayer, now you love Jesus, peace. On to the next person to conquer. That is not what we're called to do. We're not called to just, all right, you punched your card, cool, figure it out. No, that's when things are at their most vulnerable. That is when we need to surround them even more, be more family to them, more supportive of them, and say, hey, let me walk you through this process because this is new. You are being reborn. You are a brand new creature. Let me walk alongside you till you learn how to walk. Let me sit with you till you learn how to stand. That's the discipleship part of what we're called to do as believers. And it's important. It's extremely important because I wouldn't be where I am today if I did not have people that walked alongside me. I would not be able to say some of the things that I'm saying if I did not have people that supported me, that prayed for me, that physically helped me. And I thank God for those people. And because I know the significance of what that meant to me, I thank God that I have opportunities to be that for somebody else. Not because of who I am, but because it is one of the greatest blessings in the world to have God work through you. So, on a light note, I'm close to being done, guys. Just be happy about that, too. I got a picture that I'm going to show you guys. We're going to go ahead and throw it up on the screen. There is this place in Australia that has started to graft things together. This is called a fruit salad tree. Now, they have learned that you can graft things that are from the same family. So now this tree here is a lemon, orange, and nectarine tree. It all grows off the same tree because they've grafted all of these fruit together. One single tree, one single root ball, multiple fruits. Now they do this with apples too. You can grow up to 4 different varieties of apples on the same tree when you graft in the various parts of the apples. Why am I showing you this picture? Because we as Gentiles were wild olive roots and we were grafted into a cultivated olive tree. Now, no one ever grafts in a branch that they do not want the fruit from. Okay? I want that to sink into your head. You have been grafted into the family of God, into the root ball of God, and you do not graft in a branch or a scion that you do not want to flavor your fruit. You graft it in because you want to produce more fruit from that branch. Here's the significance and why the tree is so cool. We have been grafted in. We are not called to produce the exact same fruit or olives that the original tree branches made. We cannot, because we are a different scion than they are. We are called to produce the fruit that gets produced from us when we are completely connected, which means that our fruit will look a little different. Taste a little different. We might be a fruit salad tree, right? But that's the beautiful thing, is because God sees you, he knows you, and he knows the fruit that comes from you, and he says, I want that fruit. I don't need 5 million pears exactly, but I need that fruit, and the world needs that fruit, and the world needs that fruit, and come to me, and I will fill your fruit with what it needs to be filled with, and you might be a Golden Delicious. You might be a Gala Apple. You might be a Granny Smith. We have them, right? Some of y'all know some Granny Smiths, and it's okay, right? Just being honest. I still like to eat them, you know? But you're not called to be the exact same thing as somebody else. And also, here's another thing. When you were grafted in, you were not grafted into the place of the broken off branches from Israel. A new place was created for you. Another analogy. They left mom and dad's house. You didn't take their room. He built on a new room for you. Their room is still available for when they come home. Okay? So we don't boast. We're not like, well, since you moved out, I got to take your room. God's like, hold up. I made your room. You're still in the family. Their room's still there. They are still potentially part of the family. They can come home. And he wants them to come home just as badly as he wanted you to come home. We are grafted in here. And our flavors will not be the same. But we know that we're called to bear the fruit of the Spirit. Now, my patience might smell, look, and taste different than your patience. And that's what God wants, right? That's why he said, hey, I'm grafting you in. Because there are people that need that flavor. There are people, how am I going to say this? No offense to anybody. There are some people whose flavors might be a little too intense for other people. So there's other fruit. Right? Just being honest. That's it. Right? And this also tells us that the world needs what you produce when you're connected to God. The world needs it. Not just does it need it. It was made for it. Because God knows the fruit that you're going to produce. And he knows where you are. And he knew when he was grafting you in. He knew what tree you were going to be. And he knew where you were going to be planted and the people around you. So he said, I need that fruit at that time for these people. And there is no other greater blessing than to be able to provide that for other people. And just like we talked about 2 weeks ago, it's not my fruit. It shouldn't be. My fruit's going to turn people away and make them sick. It's his fruit through me. Why? It said it in Romans 11. Let me jump back up here. In verse 18, it says, do not boast over the broken branches and exalt yourself at their expense. If you do boast and feel superior, remember that it is not you that supports the root, but the root supports you. I am not giving God the power to be God. God is working his power through me to allow me to be his hands and feet to the people around me. It's not me. I didn't wake up one day and be like, this is the perfect combination of like pre-workout, exercise, and diet. And now I am tapped in. And if I do this every day, then I have like 85% God power. Nope. The only way to tap in is to connect with him and to move yourself out of the way. We're called to empty ourselves out enough so that when he pours himself in, it's all him. Okay? We want his fruit. I need to be connected to the vine. I need to remember that I was grafted in on purpose. I need to pay attention to the people that are being grafted in so that I can help support them when God calls me to support them. And I need to be able and willing to let my fruit be given to the people that need the fruit. One more thing. All of this has to be done in love. We've talked about that, right? I want to hit 1 Corinthians 13. 1 Corinthians 13, 1 through 3. It says, if I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love for others growing out of God's love for me, then I have become only a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal, just an annoying distraction. And if I have the gift of prophecy and speak a new message from God to the people and understand all mysteries and possess all knowledge, and if I have all sufficient faith so that I can remove mountains but do not have love reaching out to others, I'm nothing. If I give all my possessions to feed the poor, and if I surrender my body to be burned but do not have love, it does me no good at all. Because love comes from the heart of the Father. Because God is love. The embodiment, the definition of love, of good, of every perfect thing. And if I'm not operating out of that love, what am I doing? I don't want to make you feel bad or try to shame you in any way. Let's pay attention to what we're operating out of. And I can only operate out of what I allow to flow through me. So I can only operate out of the love of God if I'm allowing the love of God into my life, which also means that there are going to be times where I have to, on purpose, shut out other things and willingly put myself in positions to allow the love of God to flow through me. I have to willingly connect to the Father on purpose. Because the scion doesn't just sit there and do nothing. it aligns itself because of the structure of the root ball where the nutrients flow. The xylem and the phylum of the plant have to be lined up properly so that the veins line up and life goes through. We have to allow God to flow through us. We have to. If not, we're not going to have God in us. And then all of a sudden, we're operating out of a basin that once was full and is slowly, slowly emptying. And then we come to a point to where I've been operating out of the reserve and not the fresh. And his love is fresh and his power is fresh every morning for every instance where you're going through. Understand that. But if I don't put myself under the faucet, I'm not going to get filled up. Okay? If I'm not allowing myself to be grafted and accept the power of God through me, it's not going to work. And we need to pay attention to what it says in verse 21 and 23. For if God did not spare the natural branches because of unbelief, he will not spare you either. That is not God being a mean God. That is a just God who loves us and says, you choose to not believe. You are choosing to not be grafted. You are choosing to not allow this to take place. We have to make sure that we are believing in this, not because, oh, I have to convince you to believe it. This is truth. This is always going to be truth, whether I'm the one speaking it or somebody else is speaking it. Jesus came. He died for you to give you the opportunity to be part of his family. That is truth. And it says in 23, it says, and even they, the unbelieving Jews, if they do not continue in their unbelief, will be grafted in. Because our Father always wants us to come home. Our Father always wants connection. We were created in the garden for that connection. And God's calling us to that. So today, this is how we're going to end it. Y'all might not like me, but I don't care. I kind of care. But you might be a little uncomfortable for the next part. But luckily, you're sitting around people you know, okay? Since we are called to support, and we are called to love, and we are called to be the hands and feet of Jesus, you're going to practically do it. So this is what I want for you. I want you to look around the people you're sitting around. If you're not sitting around somebody, find a friend, right? Somebody that you trust and that you love, and I want you to go to somebody, ask them, how can I pray for you? Now, the most important thing is you are praying for somebody else. I need you to focus on how can I help this other person, and then they will turn around and they will pray for you. This is not a time for us to be all about us. This ain't about you. This is about God working through you, and we're going to serve our family here. Where's God calling you to support people? So I'm going to pray, and then you take as much time as you need to get with somebody. If you don't want to pray for somebody in your own family, that's cool. Go pray for somebody else. But do not leave this building without allowing the power of God to flow through you to pray for somebody else and to turn your focus off of yourself onto God and how he can use you. Okay? God, we thank you for today. We thank you that we are part of your family tree, God. We thank you that you grafted us, that you knew where you wanted us, that you wanted us, and that you are working to flow through us and to create fruit that the world needs. I pray that we would be able to have our eyes and ears open to the times where you would have us reach out to support others. I pray that you would continue to fill us. I pray that you would give us a hunger for your word, for prayer, to hear your voice, God. I pray that it would become overwhelming. I pray that we would become so wrapped up in who you are that we forget what type of plant we were to start with, because now we know that it's your fruit that we have, God. God, I thank you for today. I thank you for the willingness of everyone in this building. I thank you for their heart. I thank you for their love that they have from you, God. I pray that you would continue to fill them up, spur them on, God, and I thank you for these opportunities that we have. In your name, amen. Now go pray for somebody.